This is Thursday, October the 5th, 1989. I'm Francis Durham, a member of the North Hill Oral Histories Project. I'm in the office of Mr. John McGuire. Mr. McGuire is the owner of the Guernsey Dairy, which is certainly a well-known dairy in this area. Mr. McGuire, I noticed that you were born in Howell, Michigan in 1908, and that you had lived here in North Hill for 50 years. Where did you come from when you moved into the North Hill area?
We were married in 1938. My wife was Elise Wacker.
Uh-huh.
And we started out in Detroit, and we lived on Wildermere.
Uh-huh.
And then we moved from there to St. Clair Shores.
Okay.
We lived for a little while. And we moved over into Roseville.
Okay.
And I had a chance to work in the dairy in Northville.
Okay, there was a little minor error in here, and so we are re-recording a part of this. Mr. McGuire was just saying that he was living in Roseville and then had a chance to work in a dairy here in Northville. Okay, do you remember approximately when that might have been?
That was May the 5th, 1940, was the time that I came to Northville.
Okay.
I started working for John A. Appelhoff and John Livingston. They were partners, and they had purchased the Red Rose Dairy from Mr. Anger. And they needed somebody to manage the dairy for them. And so they hired me. And that was the date that I started, was May the 5th, 1940. And I ran it for Mr. Hopoff and Mr. Livingston for 5 years. In 1945, Fred Russell and myself purchased the dairy from Mr. Appelhoff and Mr. Livingston. And Fred and I operated as partners until 1952. And in 1952, I bought Fred's interest. And since 1952, we've been operating as individuals. It was my dairy since 1952.
Mm-hmm. And several members of your family are also working for you and working with you.
We had 14 children, and each and every one of them spent their high school days working in the dairy. When they were going to school, they'd work after school and weekends, and they worked all the way through high school. First we had a popcorn machine. And the popcorn machine used to set outside in front of the old dairy on 125 South Center Street. And they used to operate as an individual business. Until they could make a success of that, they were not allowed to come into the dairy to go to work.
Hmm.
So they had to take care of the money. They had to keep the popcorn machine clean. And they had to buy their bags and buy their oil, and they had to pay for all this and run it like a business before they could start working for me.
Great.
So every one of them passed through that stage.
Great.
Of course, they wanted to get in and work in the dairy.
Sure.
They couldn't do it till they were successful in business themselves.
That's great.
So each one of them went through the process.
That's great. Now, let me back up just a minute, because what I want to ask you is where you got your experience with dairy. Now, you were born in Howell, and then you eventually moved to Detroit to Roseville, and eventually ended up out here. But somewhere prior to that, you must have had some experience
Little time between that.
Yeah, we need to talk about that.
Yeah.
How did you happen to know something about running a dairy?
Well, I graduated from high school in 1927.
Uh-huh.
So then in the rest of that year and through 28, I worked different places and took a job here and there. And then, along about 1929, I was going to go in partnerships with my father. He had a farm at Fowlerville, south of Fowlerville, 4 miles south, 4 miles west of Fowlerville.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going into business with him. Well, in 1929, I think it was about November, the banks closed. And he had taken all of his money and put it in the banks to make the payment on the farm and pay the taxes. Well, when the banks closed, he didn't have anything left. So he had to sell the cows, he sold the pigs, and he sold the grain and the wheat, everything he had to raise the money again, pay the taxes. So he said to me, he said, you better go out and get a job, because we can't both make it here, and I will try to keep the farm, save the farm, and I'll do it on my own.
Mm-hmm.
You go work somewhere else. So I went to the neighbor, and neighbor gave me a job for 75 cents a day. And I cut wood from the crack of dawn as long as we could see at night.
Wow.
And we cut for 75 cents a day. So I saved a little money, and I got enough that winter to pay my tuition at Michigan State College. So then I went up there and I went to Michigan State College, Agricultural College, I should say.
Michigan Agricultural.
Agricultural College.
Right.
And I studied dairying.
Mm-hmm.
So after I got through the dairy course, they gave me a place in Borden. They placed me in Borden. I went to work for the Borden Company in Detroit. That's what took me to Detroit.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And that's, after that, I went to McDonald's in Flint because they wanted me. And after I got a little experience, a few people found out that I could do a few things, so they hired me away from Borden's and took me to Flint. And then after, I think I worked about 3 years in Flint. And then Harold Kuhn was the superintendent. And he came to Detroit and started his own business. And he came to me and he says, I want you to go to Detroit with me. So he gave me more money than McDonald's did, so I came to Detroit. And that's where I met my wife. And that was up to 1938. And we got married. And then I went to Roseville. I left. Slimmy Dairy. I left Slimmy Dairy, went out and worked for the Roseville Creamery in Roseville.
Uh-huh.
But lived in St. Clair Shores, and then we finally moved over to Roseville, close to the dairy. Then all of a sudden, there was a job popped up in Northville, and those people wanted somebody with my experience, so they hired me, and that's what brought me to Northville.
Okay, so
that's kind of the history now.
Was your experience primarily management type, or you trained
yes.
as kind of a manager?
Yeah, I was trained as, so I, well, they accepted me for that. Yeah.
But I'm assuming that you'd been through all aspects of dairy.
I had done everything. There was nothing I didn't do in the dairy.
As a matter of fact, why don't you relate what you told me before we put the tape on about milking the cows in the morning, going to school, coming back, milking in the late afternoon. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, that will have to back up a little. It had to back up a little bit. But when I was going to school, and I graduated from Hall High School, and my father had 25 cows. Our barn held 25 cows, and so I got up every morning. The 25 cows, he helped me. So
right.
Both of us would take care of 25 cows.
Right.
And then I would drive 12 miles to school, at 12 Miles Howell, mm-hmm. high school. And then well, I'd come home at night and then milk 12 cows again and take care of them. And then I'd do my homework after that. Mm. So the homework was somewhat neglected at that time.
What time were you having to get up in the morning?
Oh,
to get
we'd get up about
done.
5 o'clock in the morning to get those cows milked and be dressed and ready to go to school by 8 o'clock. Have your breakfast and get to be over in Howell, 12 miles down a rough road.
All right, but now how did you get to school?
We drove, now a neighbor kid was doing the same thing.
Yeah.
His name was Tommy Kane and Irene Kane.
Yeah.
He had a brother, there was my brother and sister, and I had a sister, her name was Sarah May. So four of us rode in this car.
Yeah, okay.
And so the girls would get breakfast for us, so we had our breakfast as soon as we got in the house from doing the chores.
All right.
And we'd swallow a quick breakfast and jump in the car. And well, it was about 7:30. I think it took us about 30 minutes or so to get to Howell.
Yeah.
12 miles.
Okay, the Canes had a farm also?
They had a farm also. He was doing the same thing. Same thing, right? He was helping to milk the cows. And get to school. That's the way we got through high school.
All right. Okay. So like you say, you've done just about everything there is.
I've done everything. And then when I moved into McDonald's Dairy, this Harold Kuhn that later hired me, he schooled me in McDonald's. He gave me, I did everything in this area. I've made powdered milk, I've run the condensing fans, I have made butter, I run a mixed gang for one summer for them, and I run the milk department. I did everything in the dairy.
Did
everything in the rest of it.
Okay, but you never actually had a route of your own where you were delivering milk, did you?
Oh, not at that time. Later on, I did. I had 5 routes when I started. With the Guernsey Farm Dairy, with Applehoff and Livingston, we built that out. I had 5 retail routes,
uh-huh.
and then I had 2 wholesale routes. So
uh-huh.
we built that up at the back in the 50s, long in those years. We were strong in the retail business. We had 2 routes in Farmington, 1 in Novi, and we had 1 in Plymouth and 1 in Northville. That's 5 routes.
Okay, now I assume those were horse-drawn?
No, they were
used to use a milk truck?
Milk truck, yeah.
Okay, considering the distance that you had
to
travel.
Yeah, right, yeah. When I was with Borden's, and that was back in the 30s, Borden's had 50 horses yet.
Uh-huh.
That time. They had 50 horses, horse-drawn
uh-huh.
routes.
Uh-huh.
And the milk used to come into Borden's on a hard rubber tired truck.
Yeah.
And it was an old Mack truck and come in with a chain drive wheels, the little chains on the back wheels of that truck when it came into Borden's. And that really is only about close to 6 years ago.
a little while ago.
So 6 years ago, they were coming with hard tires on the truck.
Now, when you went to work here in Northville for the dairy, was it called Guernsey Dairy at that time?
At that time, prior to that, it was Red Rose Dairy.
Okay.
And they purchased the Red Rose Dairy from Mr. Anger, Frank Anger.
Uh-huh.
And he had a farm at 6 Mile and Beck Road.
Uh-huh.
That's where the House of Providence is right now.
Oh, yeah.
And then when they bought the dairy from Manger, they called it Guernsey Farm Dairy. And each of them had, they were fellas from Detroit that were pretty well off. And in those days, it was, you know, they had the little money, so they went out and bought farms. Mr. Applehoff was at 10 Mile and 8 Year Old. Mr. Livingston was down towards Saline. And they became kind of rivals. They wanted to see who could have the best cows. And so they would go off to Wisconsin, where they go most of the time, and they would buy good cows.
Mm-hmm.
and then they would bring them back here. And Mr. Appelhoff turned out to be the victor. He had 35 cans, 10-gallon cans, of 5-2 milk. That was in about 1945. And that was the biggest herd and the most milk, most 5-2 milk of any farm in Michigan at that time.
Now, what do you mean by 5-2 milk?
That was 5-2 butterfats. 5 2/10 pound of percentage of buttermilk.
Butterfat.
Butterfat.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was good milk and good cows, and that's what we were using to. In those days, we tried to see how much cream we could get on the milk.
Mm-hmm.
The more of the cream line, the better it was. And people liked cream in those days.
Oh, sure.
And today, they don't like that.
Now, I remember the name Red Rose Dairy. Does that still exist?
No. When Mr. Appel, Mr. Livingston, purchased the Red Rose Dairy, that was the end of Red Rose
Dairy.
That was
the end of it, okay.
Mr. Anger was a printer in Detroit. He had a printing business. He would, I don't know what kind of a thing it was, but kind of maybe periodicals and stuff like that that he would print. That was
mm-hmm.
He was a printer.
Right.
Printing
business.
Right. And the dairy was a sideline for him.
Okay.
That's right.
Kind of an investment
thing. Yeah.
Right.
People used to do that in those days.
Right.
Spread their money out. A little bit.
Okay. Now, you purchased the Guernsey Dairy. You had a partner. Eventually, you bought him out and became the sole owner. What about competing dairies out here at the time? For example, didn't Twin Pines Dairy start out in this area somewhere?
Yes, Twin Pines, they started in the 30s sometime. I wouldn't know exactly. But they had a dairy, a processing plant, the Beck Road and 8 Mile Road, 8 Mile,
mm-hmm.
where Zadie is right there on the Zadie corner
right
now.
Right.
And then their business was in Detroit. They
right.
delivered in or all around Detroit and uh-huh. home delivery. Everybody in the dairy business were in home delivery in those days.
Right.
That seemed to be the way to go.
Okay, so while they have their farm out here where they raise their cattle?
Actually, I think they did raise some cattle. That's where they started.
Right.
But that soon faded away, and then they bought milk from Michigan Milk Producers Association, which was strong in the area.
Okay.
Michigan Milk Producers is a co-op that market milk for all farmers.
Okay.
In the state.
Okay. So then, while they were located out here, their business actually was in Detroit.
Right.
Where you were located out here, but your business was local.
Was local, right.
Right.
We only stayed local.
Right.
We were considered a small dairy. We were a small dairy. Five routes in the Pacific.
Yeah.
And I think Twin Pines, they went up to as many as 800 routes at one time. That was about the top point, I think.
Mm-hmm.
800 routes. But they covered the whole metropolitan Detroit area.
Were there other local dairies out here while you were operating Guernsey?
Yes. Don Miller was a distributor for Twin Pines
mm-hmm.
in the Northville area. He distributed by. Now, he started out as a small individual dairy, then finally he sold his business out, sold his equipment, and bought milk from Twin Pines.
Mm-hmm.
He was a distributor for Twin Pines in the Northville area. And then Lloyd Morris was an individual processor, and he had his little equipment, and he was about, I would say, Gray Street and Grace and Center Street,
mm-hmm.
Where his dairy was. And he was a competitor. And then there was one on 6 Mile in Newburgh.
Mm-hmm.
That was the Red Bell Dairy. And over in Plymouth, we had several dairies over there.
Mm-hmm.
And Chaslin Farms was at 6 Mile, and I think it was 5 Mile in Napier.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this was quite a dairying area.
Dairy area. every little town would have several dairies in those days. There were 600 throughout Michigan. 600 dairies in 1951 in Michigan.
Do you have any idea how many dairies there are now?
They have 19 dairies left in Michigan.
19?
Out of 600.
Now that's quite a change.
Quite a change.
Quite a change.
Yeah.
Now, is your business still primarily local, or have you expanded so that, and we're going to talk a little later on about how you have to get into the ice cream business, mm-hmm. and then eventually in the restaurant business, and we'll come into that, but currently,
we serve probably about a 30-mile radius.
Okay.
We go to Ann Arbor, and we go down around the airport, and then we go to as far over as Lake St. Clair, then we go north to about Rochester, and we go up as far as Grandbine. We have a little business up by Grandbine.
Okay.
And then around the other way, around the South Lines, Powell and Skoda. We have, there's six routes over the area.
Uh-huh.
Each driver has two routes.
Okay.
So they cover quite a bit of area.
Okay, so it's certainly not strictly local business any longer.
Not any longer, no. No. We have, we serve more than 300 accounts.
300 accounts?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, let's, as long as I've already led into it, you started off, now you said your initial store was over on Main Street?
Yes, 125 South Center Street.
Center Street.
We had a little store. Was about 10 feet wide and probably 20 feet long. It's about the size of the store.
And what products did you have?
We used to dip ice cream.
Okay.
Excuse me. We used to dip ice cream and make molded melts.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days, the races were held in Northville in the daytime. So
down at Northville Downs,
which later became Northville Downs.
Right.
And the people in those days would park uptown. There was no parking at the racetrack, particularly, or that's very little.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd park up around the town, and then they would walk down past our place and go to the races in the afternoon.
Right.
Well, we used to sell a big malted milk, I think it was 15 cents we got for it. And we would sell as many as 400 malted milks a day in that little place. We would have to have five spindles going all the time, as fast as we could put them on and take them off. And that was the days we sold malted milks.
Okay, now, how early in your career, when you bought this dairy, did you get into the ice cream business?
It was soon after we purchased the dairy. We got a little 40-quart Emery Thompson freezer.
Mm-hmm.
And we started making ice cream in the 40-quart freezer.
Right.
We'd make 40 quarts at a time and take about 10 or 15 minutes to make it. And you draw it off and you put it in cartons. And we used to take, I think we had one child at the time, so we'd take him down and put him in a little, I think they call it jumper, and we'd hang that onto the compressor. The compressor was vibrating a little bit, so it bounced. Pretty soon the kid fell asleep. My wife would help me put up the ice cream.
Uh-huh.
And we put it, pints, I think, is the only way we sold it at the time, pints of ice cream.
All right, now was this hand-packed?
It was kind of soft, and we had a little system to get it into the pints.
Mm-hmm.
Pint was always sold.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's mostly half gallons.
Right.
Rarely do any pints. So.
Okay, now we're sitting here in your office in your present location. Is all of your milk and ice cream processed right here, or do you have another facility also?
No, all of our products are processed here.
Okay.
We buy our milk from the independent co-op in Grand Rapids.
All right.
And the milk is picked up around Owosso. Mm-hmm. And then they come down here, they bring us in a load of milk and fill our tank.
All right.
And we buy our cream, heavy cream, from Michigan Milk Producers Association.
Okay.
Which is in Ovid, Michigan. So now they bring us down a load of milk and put it in our tank.
All right.
And then we put the two products together. We use the heavy cream to increase the butterfat in the milk, and we pulled out a 12% butterfat mm-hmm. ice cream mix.
Mm-hmm.
We make all the mix out of the milk and the cream. We buy sugar from Dot, which is another family outfit. They have, they're down in Indiana,
mm-hmm.
and they have, I think, 10 children.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all in the distribution business.
Another family business.
Family business.
Yeah.
They've succeeded, and they cover pretty much of the eastern part of the United States now. They have just a distribution. They distribute sugar and all kinds of products that go into ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And they come through with a big truck and drop off what we need
mm-hmm.
and move on to somebody else.
Hmm.
That's a fantastic business. They're fine people. They serve us well.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Okay. One of the ice creams that has become renowned is your butter pecan. Would you say that butter pecan is probably the most popular ice cream that you make?
Yes, I would say the butter pecan became the most popular ice cream that we produce, and only through when we give a lot of credit to the People's Magazine,
uh-huh.
which wrote us up on it. They give us a nice story in it, and they tested the ice cream. They picked up samples from all the dairies in Michigan, and they found out that they judged us to be the best in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
So then they called us and told us we had won Michigan. Now if you'd like to go to New York or be in the national, you send a sample of your ice cream to New York.
Mm.
So the next day I put a sample of ice cream, and they told us how to send it by the, what's that, express company?
Yeah. You mean
overnight express?
Right? Yeah, overnight express. Yeah,
overnight express.
Okay.
So we put it with overnight express, and it was New York the next morning.
Oh, yeah.
Like that afternoon, they called back and said, "Hey, you won fourth place in the United States."
Wow.
And so I said, "What happened to first place?" They said, "You better be happy. You got, even got mentioned." So they wrote a nice story about it, and the butter pecan took off the next day.
Yeah.
We had four girls taking orders in their offices, and four girls answered the phone continuously all day. We couldn't even get our own orders through the phone, so people couldn't get to us.
Oh, boy.
Because phones were all tied up. That happened for about 3 days after that, and it kind of died out. But we had calls from all over this United States how they can get a hold of this butter pecan.
Well, I'm sure that people drive here from long distances.
They do. We have people come for long distance, still coming. We had people working there. They used to come into our lobby, and they would pack ice cream and send it to their friends in California, over in the state of Washington. We had some over there. And we had them all over the East Coast. They would send a package of ice cream. You know, they'd come and pack it. We wouldn't do anything with it. We'd say, "Hey, we got the ice cream if you want to get it." So they'd come and bring their dry ice and pack the ice cream and send it off to them. So it did make a big difference about it.
Okay, so originally, when you bought the dairy, you had this little outlet where you sold ice cream and you made malted milks, mm-hmm. and then you also had delivery routes where you were delivering, well, I presume all the products. You had butter?
Yes, we carried butter. We used to try to carry a full line of dairy products.
Mm-hmm. Would that include eggs?
We'd carry eggs, right, eggs and everything. We still do. We still carry a full line of dairy products.
Uh-huh.
We have just about every container there is going. We can meet anybody in the business.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
With butter.
Eventually, you went into the restaurant business, and there's an interesting story there. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, in the 50s, the dairy industry was updated. Everything became grade A, grade A dairies.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a little antique dairy in town.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of antiquated and it was kind of small. So I came to 21300 Novi Road and purchased 4 acres of ground and decided to build a new dairy so we would be updated, so we would be modern, so we would be grade A. So we went through and built the dairy. It took me more than a year. I think we opened it in February of 1966. And at that time, there was no food on the north end of Northville. There was no place you could get a sandwich or get anything to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So the people that I knew in Northville said, if you move out there, they said, that'll be the end. They said, you'll starve to death out there. You're moving away out of town. You can't make it. But as people come out this way a little bit, they wanted someplace to eat.
Sure.
So they kept asking for it. And we had the little store. So we put in coffee, and then we put in sandwiches. And
you had a store here?
Yeah, right here. We started
okay.
here. But it was about maybe a year or almost 2 years after we had started the dairy. So
right.
then we put a little store in. Then we finally put in some booths. And then we put in a counter. And then finally it grew to the point where we didn't have room to serve the people anymore. Because there was nobody else serving.
Right.
Well, then finally, there were stores opened up across the street, and there were restaurants come around us, all around us.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had outgrown our capacity, so we decided we'd build a restaurant.
Right.
So we have a 100-seat restaurant, and we've kind of outgrown.
100 seats?
We have 100 seats. Yes.
Uh-huh.
We seat 100 people at a time. And that is pretty small now. We can't take care of it.
Right.
Friday night to till Sunday night, there usually is lined up to get into the place.
I've been here and I've stood in the line.
Yeah.
So, are you considering expanding?
Nobody wants to carry the ball.
Yeah.
Move out anymore, but maybe we will. Maybe we will someday.
Yeah.
Some people say that we're big enough. You keep that if you take care of 100, you're doing enough. That's all you need. But I feel that we should be about 50 more seats.
Uh-huh.
And maybe we will make that someday.
Yeah.
Maybe we will.
Yeah.
So that's kind of brings us up to date.
Okay, now one of the things and it again leads into it, is that because you have 14 children, and you've already mentioned that each one of these children was expected to become kind of an independent businessman or businesswoman. They had this little popcorn stand in town, and once they proved themselves that they could operate that, and they were responsible for every aspect of it, ordering and accounting and the finance and everything, then they came to work in the dairy.
Mm-hmm.
How many of your family, and that would be both your children and their spouses and maybe even some of their children, are currently involved in this dairy operation?
Well, let me see, I suppose I should Merchandise. I have sold the business to 5 of my sons.
Correct.
As time went on, as each one of them would get married and they were coming up, I offered every member of the family an opportunity to become part of the Guernsey Farm Dairy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all but 5 chose to go another route.
Mm.
They had, they went to school, some of them, for instance, Tom became, he became the cannabis ministry. He was a Maryknoll priest. He went off to Maryknoll, New York, and he studied in Maryknoll, and then he went up to Hingham, Massachusetts, and he studied up there, and he became a Maryknoll priest, and he went off to, they gave him work in the States for a few years. And then he went to Hong Kong, and he was a priest there for 9 years.
Mm.
And then the church started changing a little bit, and priests started getting married, and he was one of the ones that got married.
Mm.
So then he came back here, and he came back to the States, and we gave him a job right away, and he thought, well, maybe this is for me. But he worked for us, I guess, about 2 years, and that was, he couldn't hack it. He was he was trained to do other things,
right,
so
right.
He went, he became, got into campus ministry. And then he went to Lansing, and he was campus minister for the college, 4 colleges in Lansing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had a job offer in Detroit last year, just a few months ago. And he moved to Detroit, to U of D, and that's mm-hmm. where he is now.
U
of D College.
Right.
And then last year he was elected campus minister for the United States, so he is over in the United States too.
Mm-hmm.
So then, Pat, she was a, I don't know, did you want to go into all of these?
Well, we don't need to talk about them individually.
I guess we not.
Maybe just the ones that are actually directly involved in the dairy business. Now, for example, I met your daughter-in-law when we went out to get some beverage.
Yeah, yeah.
And so she's working as a waitress?
Yeah, she's helping out. She goes out every day.
Uh-huh.
She comes in. But then, I'm sorry, we'll have to cut this out then, because we can't mention one if we don't mention the other. Now, I've always been kind of careful on
okay.
that. But
okay.
You know, I don't want to get, so we'll
okay.
knock him out.
Why don't we do this then? How, at one time or other, is it fair to say that every one of your children was directly involved in the operation of this dairy?
I would say that every one of them, I know that every one of them has been through the dairy. Every one of them has been, they've spent their time here.
Okay.
Especially when they went to school.
Okay.
And some after school, after they got through school.
Uh-huh.
They came back and worked here. And I think there's 3 of the girls that are still here and they're still keeping the books.
Okay.
But that's, they're not involved in the dairy, but they are working for the brothers.
Okay. And then 5 of your sons, you say you sold the business to them.
Right.
So in effect, they run the business. You're kind of like the chairman of the board.
Yeah, I'm still president.
You're the president. You're the president, chief executive officer.
Right.
And some of your grandchildren, are they involved?
Yes, there's a few grandchildren. There's a few that are in here. I would say maybe 5 or 6.
Okay.
They're kind of in and out when they're in school, yeah.
Right.
Most of those kids, so they're
right.
in and they work a few hours and then they get off.
And then some of your sons' wives or your daughters' husbands have been involved and maybe
yes.
still involved in
yes,
the business.
Yes, there is. There's several daughter-in-law. I think there's 3 daughter-in-laws that are working in the office too.
Yeah.
So one of them, for instance, takes care of the account bill and other receivables, and another one does the payroll and on through the
This is really a beautiful example of a family business.
Well, thank you, and I believe we're really happy with it, and it's been, it's, they have a nice business, and it's going well, and it's a successful business. We're not setting the world afire. What we do, they can make a living.
Well,
they're all buying their houses, and they're all got families.
And we're really happy.
My wife and I are happy, and we have a good life.
I think one of the things that, me as a consumer living in the Northville area, is the quality. You know, it's...
We've stressed quality from the beginning. We try to make the best of everything that we can make. In the restaurant, we buy only the best stuff. We pay the top dollar for it. We get the goods, the best that we can find in every line. We work on that all the time. Quality.
That's great. Well, I'd like to kind of divert off into some other areas now. Haven't worn you out yet.
Well, let's take a break for a bit.
You want to take a little break?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what we got. Must sound all bad.
No, not. Okay, we've been talking a little bit while the recorder was off, and there's some interesting things that I still want to talk to Mr. McGuire about. One of the things is the fact that he's lived in the same house here in Northville for 47 years, and that's the house at 240 Orchard Drive. Now, you moved here as a newly married man, or you were married at the time you moved here?
Well, we were married before we moved to St. Clair Shores.
Okay.
But then we lived out there, I guess, about 3 years, I think. And then we moved back to, we got the job in Northville, so then naturally we wanted to live in Northville.
Right.
When we first came, we were unable to get a place in Northville. There was not a house in Northville for rent.
Hmm.
And anyhow, they said, you won't be here long enough to rent you a house. I remember one lady said that. She said that nobody that existed down there that area yet, that I wouldn't rent a house to you because you won't be here that long. So anyhow, we decided we were going to make it, stick it through. And we finally found a house on Farmington Road where we rented a little house.
Uh-huh.
So we had to live there, I think, 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And then finally, we heard of a house in Northville that was for sale.
All right.
And so I immediately ran over and I bought the house right away. I bought that little house for $5,000.
Oh, boy.
And I paid $50 a month payment.
Wow.
So then we started out, and we had 5 rooms, nice little house. And so then as the kids kept coming along, we just expanded the house. We built on, and we made a little addition, and then we finally had that filled up, so we made an all the way. I think we expanded it 4 times.
Is that right? When you first moved here, did you have children then?
We had one child.
You had one?
Yeah.
Okay, and then you lived then over in...
I guess we had two.
Two?
Two, yeah.
Okay, and then, so when you moved to the house on 240 Orchard, you had a couple of children already, so you had a 5-room house, which was okay then.
Right, all okay then. Then we had to expand later on that.
And
there was never, you know, actually there was never 14 home at one time.
Ah, okay.
Because, they might have been home for holidays and things like
right.
that, but for the most part they was away to school somewhere.
Right.
When the young ones were born. So hardly, the young ones hardly knew the older ones, you know. They were gone.
Were they fairly close in age?
Yeah, they were pretty close, but over 14 years, you know. Well,
oh, sure.
When you're away to school,
sure.
You're not very close to one. But they have become grown closer.
Right.
So they're close.
Did you have kind of a dormitory style, for the girls and one for the boys?
At one time we did. We had, at one addition we put on, we added one big room.
Mm-hmm.
So then we used to put the boys out there, and they had bunk beds.
Mm-hmm.
said, we put them in bunk beds. I think we maybe had three bunk beds and all in one room. So that worked good.
Yeah.
But then the girls had the other.
Right.
Then, after that, why, then you become to run into a problem with bathrooms.
Yeah.
We finally had to build another bathroom. So we built a bathroom.
Now, I forgot to ask you, do you have more boys or girls?
No,
what's the breakdown?
There's seven boys and seven girls.
Seven and seven. Okay. Right. Well, girls like to spend times in bathrooms.
You're right, and the boys didn't like that in the morning. So we had to get another bathroom. We added the other bathroom.
Yeah.
And then finally we got the third bathroom.
All right.
We got to the point where we had the third bathroom.
Right now you got more space.
We got more space than we need to. We're the other way now.
Right. Yeah. But you have no intention of moving. That's the family home. So.
Well, we just talked about this the other day. I said, well, we don't need this space anymore.
Right.
But it's good. When they come home, we got a place for them.
That's right.
We have finished our garage over. It's a two-car garage, and I've paneled it. And when they do come home, we just leave the cars out, and we use this garage, and we can eat in the garage, and it's close to the kitchen, so we have five tables we set up, and we can all eat in the garage the day they come home.
Boy, well, I bet one of the holidays are busy times around the McGuire house.
They are. They try to get home, but some of them, now there's two in Arizona, so
yeah.
They have a hard time getting all the way to Arizona and getting back. And
how many of them have stayed in this Northville area?
Let's see, there's two in Arizona, there's one in Detroit, one in Rockville, Maryland, and one in Florida. The rest of them are pretty local.
In this area. Well, that's good. So you've got a lot of your family still
around. Yeah, our family's still there.
That's good. Now, you are a member of the Our Lady of Victory Parish.
I'm a member of Our Lady of Victory Parish.
Okay, and tell me what Our Lady of Victory is like when you first moved out here.
When we first came, there was 46 families in Our Lady of Victory. So at that time, it didn't take long to learn 46 people. You knew everybody in just a little while.
Right.
Then it grew to about 125. It seemed to grow pretty fast, 125. And you knew everybody at 125. Then I would say, I don't know what year, maybe along about 50.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say things started to change, and then the people moved into the area. And then it grew so fast, and pretty soon you didn't know.
Right.
You didn't hardly know anybody anymore.
Right.
Seemed like you didn't know anybody. then they finally took 500 families away, and they moved them over to our Holy Family.
Right.
Holy Family was starting.
Right.
And so then we kind of dropped back again. I think there was only 1,200 left here.
Still a big period.
All big. 1,200 right. Families, so you don't know me anymore. Right. Then it grew back, and there's over 1,700 families again.
Mm. That's a big area.
Yeah, it is.
Well, now the building, when there were 43 families here, what kind of building?
Oh, it was a nice little old. That was the enjoyable time of it, because it was a little old wood building, and it seemed like it just fit the people, that's all.
Right.
It was nice.
Well, if you were a part of that 43 family parish, and the parish started growing, then I'm sure you were also involved in raising money for additions and the growth of the parish.
There was always some fundraising to be done, so the people had to do it, and the old timers were elected to do that part of it.
And you were one of them.
I was one of them. Try to get money to build a new house, a new building.
Yeah. And right now, I don't know just exactly where the parish is. It's a pretty comprehensive parish. You have a parish hall, and you have a sanctuary.
It's big now. And the hall actually is in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
They have a nice hall and a big hall and a big church. I think the total may be about 800. I think it's what about.
Yeah. Okay, and you were very much involved in the growth of that parish.
Yes, I was until the last one. I thought, I think it was 1959. I think was remodeled and built, but they built a new church.
Right.
Then, and this is the year, probably 87. I think it was. It had to be brought up to date. We had a lot of new people move in, and it had to be all updated.
Mm-hmm.
So they tore the church, the inside of the church, all apart and brought it up to date.
Mm.
But I didn't have much to do with that. I thought, well, I built it once. And
they
aren't satisfied. I'm doing it.
You've already done your time. So.
I've done my job. I didn't get involved too much with that.
Well, now also, having 14 children, you mentioned to me that there were 9 different schools involved at one time or another, and of course, when you've got young children, you want to be involved in the activities of the school, and both you and your wife are involved with the PTAs or other parent groups.
There was a time that when we had them in 9 schools, we were pretty much occupied all the time. They just kept us going. It wasn't too much time to get involved with public affairs. So we're trying to take care of our private affairs.
All right.
And so we tried to keep up.